is going on? How are you?
Man, late night, early morning. We got an exciting time. We got some second round stuff to talk about. Before we get started, though, bro, just want to say, like, I don't know how many people out there were paying attention to what happened last night at Columbia. It's not something we really like to dip into too often, but like, as a parent with a kid there at Columbia, you really, I don't know. When you send your kid to a place like Columbia, you expect, like, you understand New York's a dangerous place. You know, there's a certain amount of crime, and you hear about people getting stabbed on campus or off campus and things like that, and you accept those risks. But to have a kid there at school and to see the university use force and use the NYPD in the way that they did against students, you know, we're still waiting to hear back from our daughter. We're not sure exactly what's going on, but it's just mind-boggling, as Will Ferrell says, just that the school would do that. You would never expect that to happen in a place like that. And I know a lot of people have political opinions. I'm not trying to dip into that shit. I just want to say, as a parent, I'm just incredibly disappointed in the administration of Columbia for their choice of how to handle the situation. I know we don't talk about my kids very much, but man, I'm fucking pissed. And I'm sorry you guys have to hear about that, but that's just what's going on with my life.
No, but I want to jump in there, and I just want to say, like, I'm never for war. I'm never for violence and war tactics, which is happening there in Colombia right now, war tactics. You know, I have a wife. I've got to be very careful what I say, but I have a wife that's in the United States Army. She's a fucking badass from their toes to her fucking top of the head, man. She'll kick your ass. But my point is about that is that she's been in war. She's been in a war environment. And I hate when stuff like this happens, much less happens here in the United States. You know, we saw it a few years ago in Missouri. We're seeing it again here. There seems to be a bad situation always happening when police and government officials are in charge of trying to clean up a situation instead of trying to make it better. So our thoughts are definitely with you, Mark, and your daughter. I'm pretty sure we won't use her name just to be case something could happen. But obviously, our thoughts are with her. So, but you know, and I know if she needs it, we are down there in the next 4 hours. So we would be throwing bows and doing whatever it takes to protect her. So there we go.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure everything will work out. But yeah, like, this level of stress doesn't need to be brought on by the adults in the situation. You know, I think part of it's like, we grew up in a society that we learn about silent protests. We learn about Gandhi. We learn about Martin Luther King Jr. We learn about all these great people who did that. And then all of a sudden we expect, like, the children in the situation to be the adults. But we've trained them to think that silent protests or, peaceful protests is the height of, what you can do as an activist. So I think there's, like, we've trained the kids to be activists, and then when they choose to be activists against the people that feel like they're empowered, we'll use the NYPD and bring in batons and come in weapons drawn. I'm pissed. I know that we don't want to make it. We've already talked for 4 minutes about this shit. I don't want to make it any more about this. Sorry for everybody who has to listen to it, but we're going to be pissed until we figure out exactly what's going on. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be hell to pay for the administration, as there should be, because these are peaceful protesters. They could have figured out a way to handle this peacefully. They fucked up from day one, and they continue to fuck up, and they continue to escalate it. And you can't blame it on the kids anymore when you're the ones with batons beating them over the heads. Let's move forward. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying you can't do it if you did. Dave, we got a game tonight. Who you calling?
Yeah. No,
Clippers,
we don't. Oh, yeah.
Mavs. Who you calling, bro?
Man, I'm stupid fucking dog. I'm going to say no Kawhi, Clippers win.
Dude,
seems like the only way the Clippers get a win.
How well did the Clippers have to play to get the win the other night? I know that they blew a 30-point lead, But man, Paul George is torched. James Harden was retro James Harden. We saw incredible offense from them. Do you think they can come out and do that again? Or yeah, do you think
that's why Kawhi, having Kawhi out there, man, it's like he slows down the offense. And I think that they all recognize it. They all see it. They have a high octane offense, and it's crazy saying that Kawhi slows it down. But if you guys watch, and I've been watching very closely, if you've been watching when Kawhi is in the game, they try to make him the two-go-to guy instead of spreading that ball around and recognizing they have way more power throughout the team instead of trying to make it two-go-to Kawhi. So, I think this matchup is definitely it favors when Kawhi is out against the Dallas Mavericks for some strange reason. That's just the way it seems to go, and that's cool. But, man, speaking of just insanity, man, we got a person, and I deleted their comment. You know, this
you
is
deleted
not,
it.
If you guys go look at the comments, this is a different one.
Okay.
This is a different one. So there's a guy there that's talking about how crazy we are because of it. People use words like delusional and all that stuff. That's no news for us, but this particular one kind of chaffed me because like the reality is that, this is what's happening in Oklahoma City. Okay, guys, there's this group of people that call themselves the realist. All right, guys, they say that this team isn't ready to compete for a championship. Okay. And why that's wrong, okay, is because this team is full of a bunch of overachievers, guys that were overlooked. Doesn't matter. Look at Shea. He wasn't the best guard of the draft, right? You look at Josh Giddey. You're definitely a reach with that one. You shouldn't go and get that one. We had podcasters going crazy saying we're not being an Oklahoma City Thunder fan anymore after that, right? We got guys like Chet that got passed up from the number one pick, right? Isaiah Joe. Everybody passed up on him. You have Cason Wallace. Again, not the best guard of the draft. You have Lindy Waters, undrafted. You have Aaron Wiggins, late second rounder. Jay Will, second rounder. Kenny Hustle, second rounder or undrafted. You've got Lou Dort, undrafted. Usman Jang. Too young. Why are you getting him? J-Dub. All right. Just stop right there and say J-Dub. People think we are crazy when we think that J-Dub is going to average 28 points a game in this league at a very high efficient shooting. People think we're fucking crazy. So when we look at it and we start breaking down everybody and we start understanding what's happening with this team, is it delusional for us to say this team is competing for a championship this year? Is it delusional for us to say that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to have three guys that are going to get first place votes in a MVP race? Is it delusional for us to say that J-Dub is the best hybrid player, guard, forward in the league? Is it delusional for us to say that Shea is the best guard in the league? Is it delusional for us to say that Chet is the best center that can shoot and play defense in the league? And I know people will be like, no. But listen, look at the guys that he's up against and tell me you would rather one of those guys over Chet. And I'll tell you, you're crazy. This is a team that is built to withhold and withstand a crazy amount of stress and pressure. With that being said, Mark, how do you explain to somebody that this is a team worth watching that hasn't been watching on basketball for a little while?
It's really simple, man. The narrative right now is that this team is built to win later, but the reality is this team is built to win right now. And the way you can prove that, even though it seems a little ambitious for the average Thunder fan to think that way, but Dave, you were saying something to me the other night. You said, if we don't win a championship in 2 years, Shea won't be on this team anymore. And we'll be looking at a rebuild, a mini version of a rebuild. And I was thinking about it. I think that maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, Dave. I'll let you correct what you said, because I think there is something to what you were saying, because with the Thunder, you can't have three max players plus, right, and not be winning championships. You have to at some point let the older players get some value for them and let them go until you find that group that can win, something like that, right, Dave?
Absolutely. Like, here's the thing, what it comes down to, they might be able to pull one more year out of Shea, but you all of a sudden start playing with the value of Shea after that. You want to have at least 1.5 years on his contract to maximize the value of a player. And if you can't win a championship, right, with the guys that are already set, then you could go for a third year and that's fine, but you're probably taking away a first round draft pick. You know, think about it. Shea would have 2 years left after that. Okay. And my point is that if we're going to look at it, Shea needs to be able to have at least a finals appearance for us to keep this team together. We need that extra money that comes right into finals appearances. And right, if you guys want to say, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder can afford these crazy contracts, you're absolutely right. They can't. But I want to say, Mark, is it like $25 or $50 million extra if the Thunder make it to the finals every year? That's an insane amount. And the point is that with that being said, is that that means that the Oklahoma City Thunder could be cashing in and spending that money on the contracts and the more money spent. And if you guys look at the CBA, it's designed to be able to keep these guys here. And yes, we won't be able to get some trades out in there, but that's why we have draft picks, man. We don't need to go out there and start trading for veteran guys. We have draft picks to withstand this crazy, insane thing that's going to happen with the NBA.
Right. And so, like, my point basically is just that while it's easy to look at this team and say, oh, we can pay attention next year or in 2 years, the reality is there's a good chance that this team may never be better, because you never know what will happen. You never know if you're going to get injured. You never know if you're going to find yourself in a position where you face against, you know, the future champions in the first round. We assumed we'd get back to the finals after we got there one time. We found ourselves in a spot where we're up 3-1 and we thought we for sure going to go back. But you never fucking know what will happen. And I think when you look at the construction of this team, yeah, it is easy to assume that we'll be better next year. But we can't assume that every year we'll keep getting better unless the team finds a way to inject new talent. It doesn't have to be because, well, like our star players are, you know, whatever, but, you know, those mid-tier players eventually get much bigger contracts because they're playing in the playoffs a lot. And you have to be able to, like, replace those guys. And if something happens and you can't replace that talent, you can find yourself in a top-heavy situation where it's very easy to defend you. Thank you, in all these different environments. So, like, understanding that this team wasn't constructed to win tomorrow, like the future, like the past Thunder teams, where it was always like, oh, we're one piece away. They are literally the best version of this team that they can be. And yeah, some players will be better in the future, but that also means that other players are going to have to take a somewhat of a step back to ensure that everybody can flourish into their, like, their fullest version of themselves. So that's why I look at it and I say, yeah, this team is here to win now. For me, I want to prove that by going up against the Clippers. That's why I'm hoping for the Clippers, because that whole team is built with the idea of, like, oh, let's win now, win now, win now. If you come out and beat them, right, and you're the win now and the win later team, that's how you build a dynasty. I get it. Like, a lot of people are, let's let this happen later. Like, it doesn't have to happen later. As long as the guys and the coaches don't feel like, oh, well, we have to wait our turn. Like, you can actually go seize an opportunity. You know, the Celtics were expected that they would eventually get a championship simply because they were so good so young. And now they're at this point where if they don't win this year, people are going to be calling it a complete failure. Even though they've gone to the finals, even though they've had incredible experiences, they have all the pressure in the world. You have to win before the pressure arrives. That's my theory. And I think that's why this team has been built to win. Like you said, Dave, when you go through the teams that are left, you go position by position, who's on the team, who's on the court. We beat them, every team that we play, at every position, every single player. Like, I get what you might come back and say, like, okay, this one team has one position where they're better, or maybe two players where you could argue. But I would say that in the chess match of offense and defense, both sides of the ball, we're better at every position. And if you can think that, if you can believe that, if you can enter a fucking series thinking we're better at every position, then to say, like, well, yeah, but the other guys are older, so they're more experienced, that's bullshit. And as long as the guys don't think that way, they're destined to succeed. If they come in and they say, oh, whatever. I mean, but look at what the fucking Wolves did to the Lakers by just, I mean, sorry, not the Lakers, to the Suns, by just saying, like, we're not going to tip our hat and respect you just because I used to have your fucking baseball card when I was growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fucking attack you. So I'm looking forward to seeing that Denver Wolves series. I'd say the Wolves are maybe a little bit where the Suns were a couple of years ago when they were a little overhyped. You know, they like got a couple series wins and they started acting like they were the shit. I'm getting ready. I'm excited about the Wolves maybe being exposed to some posers. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too amped about that. Dave, what do you think?
I just think that they have to go up against Denver. And they have to go against Denver before we do. So yeah. There's that. I just, you know, getting back to just realizing where this team's at, right? We get a lot of people that pop up in the comments saying that they don't think that we're right with what we're saying. We get that, guys. We understand that that's your opinion. But when we said this team was going to win 55 wins, nobody believed us. I mean, our fans did. The people that were listening to us, and they're all there with us saying 55 plus wins too. When we said that this team was going to be a top three in the West, I mean, very few people believed us. When we said that this team have the players set up to be able to make a deep run in the playoffs, nobody said it was true, right? But the more you look at it, the more you start realizing. And the great thing about the Oklahoma City Thunder is my brother, Rob, he still lives there with his family. They went to the games in Oklahoma City, game one and game two. Oh, and nice. Then they came back and they went to the airport after the game.
Really? Yep, nice.
To welcome the guys home. And it was just really great because he's sending me pictures and videos of their experience. And like, it's different, guys. There's a different atmosphere and a different vibe, a different way of thinking and a different way that people are vibing right now. And I can't explain it. So for us as fans of the Oklahoma City Thunder, instead of putting a top on them, instead of putting a cap on them, instead of saying they're not ready because they're missing this and this and this, why can't we be all in? If you look at Sam Presti, is Sam Presti sitting in the corner and saying, I'm just being a realist, we're missing a big man. I'm just being a realist, we're missing a shooter. I'm just being a realist, we're missing a defender. No. He's saying we got this team. Because if he didn't feel like this team was good for the push, don't you think he would have made the trade for a player that he was perfect for this position? Who cares if it's two or three first rounders? If it was perfect for this position, don't you think Sam would go out of his way to get that player? Yes. So why is he staying fast with this team? It's because he believes in this team. Instead of us trying to change the team, we're sitting here saying, be a fucking super fan with us. Enjoy the team with us. Don't try to change them. Enjoy it.
Ride the wave, motherfuckers. Bitches, buckle up. This is Thunder Up time.
It's all day, every day, Oklahoma City Thunder. That's all you guys need to know. You're either on board or you're not. You're on the bus or you're not.